Welcome, welcome, welcome back to Forward Pressing, episode 79. It is a beautiful Saturday today, recording in the early mornings. I'm your host, Kevin. I got my co-host here, Yanis, bright and early.
It is terrible outside. Good morning, it is terrible. It's snowing outside, bro. It is not.
It is snowing in Calgary, which is messed up because it is literally, Halloween hasn't even passed yet. Which is ridiculous. Just Canada for you. That's how it goes.
That's how it goes.
But we got, we got some Liverpool drama to talk about. Happened this morning. We'll talk about that a little bit. We got some Ronaldo beef to talk about once again. This Ronaldo saga is gonna, man, we're gonna talk about that because I don't know how it's gonna end. I don't know when it's gonna end. But something's gotta happen. Something's gotta happen because you can feel the tension. And obviously the big news, we got Ballon d'Or to talk about, our boy Karim. Do you want to start with the Ballon d'Or? I think that's worthy of starting.
Let's start with that.
This was expected, right? We knew this was going to happen.
This was expected, no surprise here.
Well deserved.
No question. That was vastly deserved. He's been the best player for the whole year, but most likely you could even say like the last 2 years. So for him to finally get his trophy seems like it was only a logical end to a great season that he's had. Madrid wouldn't be what Madrid is without Benzema. He's been a massive upgrade for France since he got back. There's not really much. He's the best player in the world. There's no question. Like in the Champions League, he's been so key in so many games where Madrid doesn't seem to find a way, and he's somehow finds a way to get one or two, and that changes the game. Like yeah, maybe he doesn't.
I mean, last season Madrid was the comeback kings.
Yeah, thanks to a lot of times thanks to him. He by far deserved the award. Like I know Mane would have been nice, but I think so.
Like Mane came in second in voting, right? And I didn't even think that it was a close second.
Yeah, no, like there was a gap between the second and first for sure.
It was like Benzema and everybody else.
Yeah, because I think everybody go when they're new, like it's Benzema's.
Yeah, I would have been shocked if it wasn't Benzema.
Yeah. He even came with a tribute to Tupac with the
film. Yeah, yo, Benzema is the most. He's got the drip.
He's got the drip. The only thing that I'm surprised is that we haven't seen the video about it on his Instagram yet.
He hasn't posted anything.
Yeah, well, he's posted there's a post about it, but there's not the video. And I think people are waiting for the video because they know how hard he goes in those videos. So yeah, you don't wear a Tupac fit at an award, you know, you don't think you're gonna win. So it was most likely gonna happen. The top ten list, though. Did you look at the top 10 list?
I remember like the top 5. Lewandowski was up there, but I don't remember the whole top 10.
Yeah, Salah was 5, and Mbappe was 6.
Did you see his face? There was some memes, Mbappe face memes.
Yeah, Mbappe is having a hard time right now, man. They're going at him. I think it's a little undeserved.
We didn't mention we're going to talk about the Mbappe stuff, but he came out and said that he's happy and everything is fake, eh?
Yeah, he did say that. He confirmed that, which is good because now we know like there's people like they're actually trying to like...
I mean, maybe it was real, but now like...
Maybe he changed... maybe fix something on the back in the back end. But I think I legitimately think that it's real. I don't see how you would sign a contract in July and try to like ruin it or break it in October. Like it's got to be very extreme for you to like do a whole 180, especially at that amount of money on the line.
Yeah, I agree.
Vinicius was 8.
That was, I think, everybody thought he was going to be a little higher.
Yeah, I thought so too. I would have probably put them.
Him and Benzema were the ones that carried Madrid last season.
Madrid, yeah, maybe ahead of Salah. I don't know.
I mean, Salah didn't have that great of a year, but
he did get to the final, the Champions League final. Like, to me, the top three is not debatable. But after that, we can talk. Like, Lewandowski, Salah, Mbappe, Courtois. Courtois could have been a little higher, but he's a goalkeeper. He did win the goalkeeper of the year, so that's fair.
Yeah. I mean, he said, like, there's nothing more I could have done to win the Ballon d'Or. So if I didn't win it now, then no goalie's ever going to win it. And, like, bro, if Prime Neuer didn't win it, you're not going to win it. I'm going to just let it. That's just how it's going to go.
True. Even though, like, he was better than Prime Neuer this year by a while, by a mile.
But I don't know about that. But the thing is, Prime Neuer had Messi and Ronaldo. So that's the thing.
Best under-21 player, Gavi, deserved? Or...
Yeah, that's what I was going to talk about. Because I think it was between... I mean, we had this conversation, right, between Gavi and Bellingham. And I think I would have given it to Bellingham. But I think Gavi probably played a bigger role for his team.
I don't know if he played a bigger role, but he's definitely played...
I mean, they're both very well deserving. I think they were top two.
Yeah, there's not a bad pick to have, and it's not just Bellingham and Gavi. There was also Camavinga as an option, especially with his first season in Madrid.
For sure, but Camavinga, he was more of like a rotational kind of player for Madrid, whereas Gavi was like a staple in that midfield, and Bellingham as well. Like Bellingham is like he's shown even on the international stage that he's like a beast.
But also Musiala.
Yeah, but him too. Like I feel like they've just had like. They haven't needed to have as much of an impact as Gavi or Bellingham.
I mean, that's fair. I mean, at the moment, he's probably playing every game at Bayern. Like, he's one of the best players. But was he like this last season? Maybe not. Maybe that's why he kind of falls down in the rankings. But Bellingham, I think I would have given it to Bellingham. I'm not mad at the Gavi pick. He's a great winner for the trophy. I see why he got it. But, you know, it could have gone in many different directions. So there's no like wrong pick here, and it's funny how you saw his face looking at Benzema when he got his trophy, because I think it was a few days after the Clásico, and you could tell that he was kind of salty about it, because how bad it went for Barca.
Yeah,
Barca gotta fix that defense, bro. That was not close. Like Madrid took care of business.
Yeah, that was not close. Barca's gonna be better next season, but. I expected them to be better this season, too. Like, they are better than they were last season, but I expected them to take even more of a step forward. But it's just, like, that defense is so shaky. They need to replace some of those older players that they still have. Like, they can't be relying on Piqué anymore and Busquets in the midfield, I don't think.
Not against this Madrid team. By the way, Valverde, class. He's a monster.
He's a monster.
Like... He used to be still good because of how versatile he was, but I didn't know he had a shot like that.
He's in that midfield, and he also has just so much pace, too, which is, like, a big part of why he can do what he does.
And he plays in the wing sometimes as well.
Yeah, well, that's why he can do that, because he has that pace and that ball control, too. Like, dang. And, man, the fact that Madrid can just go from, like, Modric and Cruz to, like, Camavinga, Valverde, ugh, it's just...
And Tchouaméni.
Yeah, and Tchouaméni, like, they lost Casemiro, too. Like, that whole midfield is, like, fell apart of, like, one of the greatest trios of all time, and they already got, like, some of the, like, the best young midfielders in the world to replace them. It's just not fair sometimes.
Madrid is a machine, bro. They just reproduce it. It's a machine.
Well-oiled machine. They know what they're doing.
Did you see the OVO logo on the Barca jersey? I know we didn't talk about that. What do you think about that? Was that...
I don't know. I don't mind. Like, I don't mind it.
I don't mind it. I think it's the Spotify deal with Barca. Yeah. I think it's...
Do you have strong feelings about it?
I thought it was alright. I thought it was cool.
I think it's cool to have that kind of like pop culture kind of reference. But there were some people like upset about it.
Yeah, because I think... Because Drake has a bad luck of like... When he supports like a team.
Yeah. Okay, so that's what it was.
Yeah. Like Kentucky's not the same because of Drake. Kentucky basketball is ruined.
That meme's never gonna die.
Yeah, it's never gonna die. Ever since he started like playing with the team, like it was a wrap. But anyways, would you want to go Liverpool or United?
Let's talk about Liverpool, and then we'll talk about United and Ronaldo, because that kind of goes together, right? So Liverpool, I mean, listen, they beat West Ham earlier in the week.
They beat City first.
They did. Big game. I mean, that was like, you could not even expect that, because City have just been like rolling through everybody, no matter who you are, City are like, it's like a stampede. But, I mean, then they play West Ham and it's 1-0. Like, these Liverpool games are always so close. It's like, they're always low scoring events. It can go either way. It's like if the game plan goes a little bit off like the track, then everything falls apart kind of thing. Like everything needs to go perfect for them to get a result. But they beat West Ham, right? And then today, early this morning, they lose to Forest, like the worst team in the league, arguably. Them or Leicester. I mean, Henderson, did you see the Henderson save I sent you? He like
I did not see this end. Was it on the
end of the game. Look at it on your phone while I talk. He it's like a corner, and he makes a sick reaction save to keep the game, to keep his clean sheet and keep the Forest win. Because I was like near the end of the game too. Like, I mean, Henderson is just a beast. I really hope he becomes United's goalie because De Gea just has so much wrong with him.
Oh wow.
It was a sick save. It was a sick save.
That was last minute too, the 98 plus.
Yeah. So it was like really clutch.
I wonder if he's gonna put himself in consideration for England's number one in the World Cup because
He should be. He should be. I think he should be.
it's always been a question mark because not well, Pickford hasn't been convincing. Pope is shaky with his feet, but he's a good save, great like save, shot stopper. So it's gonna be between.
If Henderson was United's goalie number one, he would be for England. He'd be up in that conversation.
Most likely. It'd be up in the conversation, yeah. But good save on him. Good save on him, yeah, for sure. Liverpool,
Yeah.
though.
I mean, and listen, it's the Prem. It's the Prem. We always know the worst team can beat the best team on any given day. That's what we love about the Prem.
Liverpool lost a lot, though, in the last few weeks. Like, they lost Jota. And, I mean, Diaz was already injured, but Jota is a massive loss as well. Not just for Liverpool, but for Portugal as well, but. That's a few losses that cannot be replaced that easily. Like we said earlier, they're gonna have to spend in
And
January for sure.
I think they will. They'll try to bring in at least one player, I think. They're gonna have to bring in probably two. There's only so much business you can have done in January, though. That's the thing. So I don't know how it's gonna go, but it's not looking good for them because, like you get a win at City, you get a win at West Ham, both clean sheets, which is really good. But then you kind of like you. Take away all that progress with like a loss to the worst team in the league, right? Like City's not losing to Forest. That's the thing.
Yeah, they're two step forward, 10 steps back.
Yeah, I mean right now it's kind of like I know Arsenal's at the top, but you kind of like City blow Arsenal out of the water type of thing, you
Hey man, until it happens, I don't believe it.
know? We'll see, but it's just like so hard to see anybody stop City. Even in the Champions League, like I don't know, like it's finally gonna be the year.
They drew to Copenhagen, even though they had a red card, so that kind of explained it, but still.
Yeah. But I don't know. Like, do you see anybody stopping City?
Yeah, Arsenal.
Yeah. All right, be serious.
I have to say that. What you mean? We're first.
You don't have to.
No, well, I do. I genuinely believe that we have a chance of, like.
I know, be serious.
I genuinely believe
Winning the league or beating City?
both. If we beat City, then the league is a strong possibility.
The thing is, like, we've seen City hold this level of form for multiple years, whereas Arsenal's only just getting to like good form, and you guys have gotten like not lucky with like early season matchups.
Don't say that. Don't say that. Don't
I
say
mean,
that.
listen, li I'm not.
You guys beat us.
I know, that's what I'm saying, and we suck.
I don't think you guys suck as bad as you think you do.
No, we don't. We're a top four caliber team right now. But the top four of this year is a lot weaker than the top four of previous years. That's the thing. Do you not agree with that?
Are you top four? Are you top four though? I would disagree with that actually. I think
You
this
don't think we're
top
top
four
four
this year's.
caliber?
I'm looking at the top four right now, and like, yeah, you beat us for sure, but City you wouldn't beat. Spurs you did beat Spurs too.
Don't know what you're talking about, bro. You're exposing yourself right now.
I forgot about that Spurs game.
You're exposing yourself right now. Hey,
Yeah, maybe you guys are top four after all. Yeah, maybe.
we're gonna hop off this recording, and then we're gonna see Man U versus Chelsea. And that's gonna be another big game.
I'm saying Chelsea win.
How much?
2-1.
I think the starting lineup just came out. Let's see.
We know who's not in the lineup.
All right, let me tell you. Let me tell you the United lineup. De Gea in net. We got Shaw and Dalot on the flanks. We got Martinez and Varane. Eriksen, Casemiro. We're playing a 4-2-3-1. Then Sancho on the left, Fernandez as the 10, Anthony on the right, and Rashford at the top.
Oh, Rashford at 9.
At the top, yep.
Over Martial.
I think Martial is still like injured.
Oh yeah, he's not even on the bench.
And Ronaldo is suspended, so.
Oh well, suspended. He's just like he's been kicked off the team.
Chelsea are playing that 3-4-3 they kind of play. They got Kepa in the back. They got Thiago Silva, Cucurella, Chaloba. And they're playing Azpilicueta and Chilwell on the wingbacks. Loftus-Cheek, Jorginho. Mount, Sterling, Aubameyang at the top.
Cucurella at left center back is surprising. I don't think I've seen this one before. I know you could play in
the
three.
I mean, it's the back of a back three, right? Of a back, like, basically playing a back five almost, with the wingbacks playing a little bit more forward.
Yeah, he's not. I would expect him to play more as a wingback, not as a left center back. It's just going to be interesting to see.
I mean, who else would you play there? You're playing.
Well, on the bench, that they have on the bench.
Reece James is injured. Fofana is injured. So, like, you know, that's already two defenders that are out. So they don't really have a choice. I don't even know if they have another defender on the bench.
I don't see any.
I don't think they do.
No, they don't. Fuck. Damn.
Yeah, so there you go. They don't really have a choice. But I think it's going to be a close game.
Yeah, I think so too. Maybe, I don't know, I'm not too confident in my predictions anymore, but I'll stick to it.
I mean, listen, it's not, like, defenders don't get swapped out super commonly anyways, right? So, unless there's an injury that happens during the game, they were probably rocking with that back five already. Maybe switch out, like, a wing back or something for somebody a little bit more, with some more juice near the end of the game, but...
Now, to be fair, I don't think Potter has lost a game so far.
No, he hasn't.
He hasn't, yeah. So they've been... it's been a very massive change to that. Great start, yeah. Kepa's in goal has been efficient. I think Aubameyang has been decent. Overall, the team seems to be playing better than they were before. They're in form.
Yeah. They're in form for sure. And we have some drama going on. Because, I mean, let's talk about Ronaldo, right? Like, so do you know... I mean, we've seen him be in and out of the lineup over the past, like, start of the season, right? So it's kind of been already shaky because he wants to play, obviously. The manager kind of has a different idea for the team, thinking maybe other players like Rashford and Martial are going to get are more suited for what we're playing right now. Ronaldo obviously wants to play every game, right? He's legendary, one of the greatest of all time. He feels it's kind of insulting a little bit. But against the Spurs game, apparently he refused to come on. And then Ten Hag wasn't having it. He was like, all right, you refuse to come on? Well, that's it. No bullshit. Nobody's bigger than the club. Fergie used to say that too. So now he's Ronaldo's not in the team for this game. But Ten Hag has come and said, like Ronaldo's in the plans for the future. This game, he's not in the team for this game, but we're going to rely on him for the future as well. I just think that it's kind of like, I'm on Ten Hag's side on this one because I think that you need to have a strong grip on the squad and the show, because we've seen in years past that the locker room is kind of like, with Ole too, it kind of felt like the locker room was managing the club a little bit, the attitudes and everything like that. So I like the fact that Ten Hag is kind of having like a strong fist on this one and not making an example out of him, but like staying firm to his convictions and not even bending to somebody like Ronaldo.
It kind of says a lot that he's going at the biggest player in the team as well. I do see what you...
I don't think it's going at him. I don't think he's, like, starting shit. I think he's just not putting up with the bullshit, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think a lot of managers would...
He's the manager. He can choose the squad. Like, it's his choice, and we're getting results, too. That's the thing. So it's kind of like...
That's the big thing. The results are actually coming in.
So, and it makes sense, right, to have somebody a little bit, like, more pacey and mobile to the style that we're playing, rather than like Ronaldo, who's kind of developed into more of like a poacher. I think it makes sense and it's working. So the fact that Ronaldo's complaining about it and like kind of being a little bit of a baby, I don't know. Listen, I don't want to put words into his mouth or act or like that we know exactly the whole situation, because a lot of it's happening behind closed doors. But like, what are your thoughts?
Kind of like what you said, I think Ten Hag is just doing what's best for the team, and what's best for the team is not necessarily not to play Ronaldo, but to play the best player at the best position at the right time. So
Yeah, and Ronaldo's coming off the bench. I guess he just doesn't like that.
Yeah, and it's weird because we've never seen this. Yeah, we've never seen this, him not playing every game.
No, but he's also like almost 40. So
yeah, but to him in his head, like he still thinks that he has the ability that he has in the past, and it is true that he's slowed down a bit. Like he's definitely not what he used to be, and you can kind of tell when he plays. But it's hard to tell some.
He's been one of the best at adapting his game over the years. But like you're saying, like he's not.
It's hard to tell someone with that much of a, I mean, with that caliber of player, that obviously there's an ego that comes with that as well. It's hard for him to tell him like, oh, you gotta chill out a bit. Like we're not gonna give you as much.
We know Ronaldo's got an ego.
Yeah, but like it's even more harder for a player like that to like just think going from like. Being a starter in every game, too. Now I'm on the bench.
It's probably because he was told something different when he signed at the club, right? That he's going to be, like, the face of the club. He's going to be, like, the leading guy. And now that the manager changed, the situation is different. He doesn't have, like, the same kind of, like, the promise didn't continue from Ole to Ten Hag.
And to be fair to him, too, like, if it wasn't for him last year, United would have been in a worse situation than they were, like, starting the season.
And we were already in a terrible situation last year, so that's the thing.
Yeah, but it could have gone worse if it wasn't for his goals.
But we know that it was going to be a rebuilding process, though. That we know. With how everything went last season, like it would have been like we had to kind of finally take it on the chin and say we need to start from the bottom again, which we have. Like we've brought in like key players, like Lisandro has been great, Anthony has been great, Sancho has kept up the form, Eriksen has been great, Casemiro has been great, like.
Martinez and Varane.
So, and we're still building. We're still building, yeah. That, like, moving away from Maguire was extremely necessary.
See what you did there?
What?
you had to bring up Maguire. I said Martinez. I didn't say Maguire. I said Martinez. Focus on who's on the pitch.
Hey, Martinez took Maguire's spot. Martinez took Maguire's spot. We got to talk about it. I got to mention him.
Yeah. Man. Leave him war alone, bro. He don't deserve this land anymore.
Listen, I didn't drag on him. You're telling me we should be playing Maguire over Martinez?
I'm not saying that. I'm saying he's not playing. Let's not.
Okay, so then why are you upset when I say that?
Because every United fan does that. It's like you'll look at Martinez and Varane and your head will automatically go to like, oh, Maguire's not playing. Focus on who's playing.
Yeah. I am focusing on who's playing. But I'm also focusing on who that player is replacing.
Okay, fair enough. I'll give you that. But
listen, I didn't go on a whole rant. Now you're making it a big deal, but
no, it's not just you. I'm just seeing what I'm seeing around. It's not a you thing.
This feels extremely targeted right now.
Yeah, it's not you. It's them.
All right.
So what do you have for today in terms of result? Are you guys winning it?
I think it'll be like a draw. Honestly, I can see like a 2-2 draw coming, but I think it's gonna be. Listen, it can go one or two ways. Either one team's conceding. I think if one team concedes super early, like first 5 minutes, I think that it's going to stay like that until like maybe second half, and then maybe we'll get a draw, and then it'll be like some last minute, like a late equalizer, and then it kind of stays like that. Or we're going to get like a 0-0 kind of match, and then the second half is kind of going to be a little bit more exciting. That's what I kind of feel like today. But I like United, but Chelsea have been in better form, I think. So it could go either way. With the whole Ronaldo drama, I feel like Ten Hag is going to want to kind of have another good result to show, like, you know, like, not that he was right. Yeah, but I think Ten Hag doesn't care. I think he just wants to do this anyways, right? This is like, he doesn't care what everybody else is saying. He doesn't care what Ronaldo is saying. I think he just wants to play the club how he wants to play it. And get the result. So I think that's what he's going to keep doing.
Yeah, I mean, so like you said so far, like the results have been there. So it's he's like, even though the media will like point to the controversy of not playing Ronaldo, like he's in the right because the results are there. So this should be like he's not in the wrong here at all. I think you're
the biggest thing that I think we need to look at today is Rashford because Anthony has been strong, Sancho has been strong, Bruno has been a little bit hit or miss. I think that Bruno's still coming to terms that, like, his first year here, he was, like, the center of everything for the club. The club lived and died by Bruno. And he was, like, putting up insane numbers. And I think he's still coming to terms with, like, I think people set that as his threshold for, like, is Bruno good or not? And I think he's come to terms with the fact that, like, he's not going to be able to put up numbers like that anymore because the team is, like, built so differently now and they don't need him to do that. But I think that that's still the people's requirement of him. So I think he's trying to, like, you can see with he's in interviews and stuff like that, he's like, he likes the way he's playing and he thinks he's doing well, but he says that nobody's talking about the stats that he's doing well in, even though that's what's kind of what's being asked of him now. So I don't know. Did that make any sense? But
no, it did a little bit. I haven't focused a lot on Bruno myself. I just think there's definitely a dip in form compared to what he used to when in his first season at United. I think the fact that there was really no one around him that was performing as well as he was kind of plays a part. But now that he has the team has been improved, he feels like he's one of the guys, not the guy. Especially when Ronaldo got there, like he knew like he has to take a step back. And I think that we talk about guys with players with ego, which it's not a bad thing to have, but he definitely is one of those as well. Like, for him to have two strong, but most likely leaders, but two strong egos in the team never really, like, helped.
I don't consider Bruno to have, like, that big of an ego. I just think he has high expectations for himself. But the thing is, Bruno's play has always been high risk, high reward. He is prone to turnovers, right? But the thing is, like, his first year, he was the center of everything, right? So he was getting all those opportunities. So we would see all the amazing plays happen because he had so many chances. Now his chances are extremely decreased, right? Because he doesn't need to be that center of the team. But we're seeing more of, like, the riskier plays not go in his favor, and they're not compensated by, like, two times as many good plays, right? So now it's kind of the criticism is more there and it's more obvious. But I think as he kind of, like, grows into being a little bit more passive and less risky, as I think Ten Hag is coaching him to be, I think, like, he's going to be, like, because he's one of the best playmakers. He has one of the best vision and he can finish. Like, he's a quality player. I still rate him a lot. But he's got to kind of, like, adapt his game a little bit more, I think. But I think he's in the process of doing that. But this game is going to rely on Rashford. It's going to be, can Rashford beat a dangerous presence at the top?
So you bring along Rashford there. He's going to have a big one? You're expecting him to have a big one?
Yeah, I think he needs to score a goal. I think he needs to score a goal for us to win. He gets those chances. Anthony can score. But it's going to be, can Rashford do it too?
We'll see. Rashford has a good habit of scoring good, beautiful goals against Chelsea. So, well, beautiful goal. It was only one, but still. CVG sacked. What happened?
I mean, Villa suck, so.
Yeah, I guess that's really all there is. The same Pochettino is on the way.
Do we think, I was just about to say, I don't know. I think Pochettino may wait for a better opportunity. But this kind of feels like a Pochettino opportunity too. Like, you know how we came up with the Saints and, you know, bringing Spurs a little bit more to relevancy. I think Pochettino could have the same effect for Villa. A little bit more of a low-key role. I think this is the type of role that it kind of suits him. Like, bring a club to, like...
Yeah, and the team isn't bad.
No. Bring a bad club to better. Rather than a good club to, like, elite. I think it's probably more of his style.
Leeds is worrying me, but I trust Jesse March, so, well, hopefully they get back up. Should we go and talk about...
We got to talk about the MLS playoffs.
Exactly, yes. Yes, we do. We'll wrap it up after that, yes. So,
tomorrow we got Montreal FC.
Club de foot Montreal.
Club de foot de Montreal.
Say it right.
Who you got?
I think probably this is going to be a big matchup. I don't know who's going to win because I think I said Montreal could go all the way. But last year I said NYCFC was going to go all the way too, and they did it. And they're one of my favorite teams. Those are my two favorite teams, so I don't know who to go for.
You could be rooting for Montreal. Come on, bro.
I guess I have to.
It's in your blood.
It's in my blood. I got to go Montreal on this one. I think Montreal takes it. And then Philly, I don't know. What happens against Philly, we'll see. Because Philly
We didn't finish. I think we finished only a couple points behind Philly, like, in the table. But Philly scores so many goals. So like they have like 30 more goals like differential, like which is just
like I think the three strikers are like 10 goals plus each.
Yeah, that's just a strong squad. That's the thing is with a squad like that is like if one player has an off game, you notice other ones that can still get the job done.
And what's even bigger is that they don't concede a lot. I think they were one of the best. I think they're the best defensive team in the league, like in terms of goal conceded.
They must be. Yeah, they must be.
Like the back four is solid. Andre Blake in net has been one of the best goalies in the league for a while now, so it's not a surprise. But yeah, they've definitely like improved better than what they were last. They were, I guess, their last few years. That's gonna be a big matchup. Did you watch the LA Galaxy LAFC game?
No, I didn't. But I know you told me you went to. It was a nail biter.
It was a nail biter. Probably my favorite game of the playoffs so far. I don't know who. It's hard to see LAFC winning it. They're winning the whole thing, though. To be fair with you, I just feel like sometimes they.
It'll be a Cinderella story this year.
Yeah, it will be a Cinderella. If it happens, it'll be a Cinderella story, but. There's a, I guess, it's cool to have derbies in the playoffs as well, because there was this, the LA Derby. Now you got the Texas Derby with Austin and Dallas. Whoever wins plays against LAFC. I think Dallas is going to take it. They're going to surprise a lot of people, just because I know Austin plays at home, and they're probably the third, I guess, in the rankings. They're probably overall the third, the fourth best team in the league. I think Dallas goes there and shocks, surprise them. I think it's going to be a big one. I'm expecting Matthew McConaughey to be in the house.
All right.
But I do expect Dallas. I saw the Dallas-Minnesota game, and even though I thought Dallas didn't play as well, you don't really expect a lot of good plays in the playoff game. It's like I think you said it earlier.
It's more tight. It's usually more tight.
It's more tight, yeah. It's the spaces aren't there as they used to be. It's definitely more tight. It's tougher to play the better football, but as long as you get the result, that's really all that matters. So I expect Dallas to get a result, and then Dallas LAFC. I don't know if that happens. I think LAFC takes it. I think the final is gonna be my final would be Montreal LAFC.
That'd be great, right?
That would be great, but I think it's gonna be LAFC Philly. Matter of fact, scratch that. No, I'm sticking with my Montreal pick. Fuck that.
I believe in the city. We're playing at home tomorrow. We're playing at home tomorrow, so I think that kind of makes a little bit of a difference. By the time people are listening to this, if anybody's listening to this, the game will have happened. So what we're talking about, if you got this far, you already know what happened. But I might go into the game.
Hey, fly me. We talked about.
Yeah, you never came back. I was serious about it. You never. I told you. Think about it. Let me know. You never came back to me, so now it's.
If you do go, let me know.
Yeah, I'll let you know.
We'll FaceTime during the game.
The tickets are getting more expensive now, which is unfortunate, but we'll see.
You're all right. You'll be all right.
All right, you don't know my financial situation.
Yeah,
you don't know my financial situation, but I think Montreal's gonna take it. I think being at home is gonna make a difference here. But the biggest thing for me is I don't want to concede an early goal because I think playing from behind early in the game, I think it's going to be tough.
Especially in a playoff game.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that's what the game is going to rely on. But who's the guy you got to watch? The guy to,
for Montreal?
If we win, he's got to play well. Yeah, for Montreal.
Ismael Kone. There's actually two players. There's Kone, he's been a Real Vision this year and hopefully he makes the Canada team, which probably he will because he's been too good of a player not to put in the team, and Mihailovic as well. I think as long as Mihailovic he's got his, not just the goals, but like create. As long as he's able to create as freely as he was, and he can find his paces like he did all season, there's gonna be a strike at the end of one of those finishes. Either Kamara, Mason Toy, or Romel, because Romel gotta come back as well. We need to see Romel back. I think Romel's gonna have a big game regardless. But especially those two, like Mihailovic and Kone, they have to perform. And they have the entire season. But like this game specifically, like against a big game. Because they're both, like, to me, they're both like the most two technical teams. Like in terms of technique, they're even. It's going to be those little differences. I think defensively, we might be a little better. And that's what, even though they have the better goalkeeper, I think in terms of experience, I think in terms of a back four, we have the better back four. Well, the back three, really. But yeah, I'm expecting light work.
What's the score prediction? And then we'll wrap it up.
So I have Montreal 2-1.
All right, I got Montreal 3-2. I think last goal is coming in the last 5 minutes of the game. That's my take. That's going to wrap it up. Episode 79 in the books. Thanks so much for listening. Pray for a United win today.
Don't forget the socials.
Don't forget the socials. Forward pressing. Underscore. Forward pressing. And yeah, Instagram, Twitter, everything. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being here. Appreciate it. Looking for a United win against Chelsea in half an hour. Looking for CF Montreal win tomorrow. And hopefully next time we talk, those both of those things will have happened. Thanks for being here.
Oh yeah. No, let's not. If not, I'm not watching a game. I'm a jinx.
You're a jinx?
I'm worse than Drake. I'm worse than Drake.
Nobody's worse than Drake. Alright, that's gonna be it. Yeah. Thanks for being here. Peace.
Peace.